Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I have a great episode for you today with Inner Circle member Aaliyah, and we talk about a lot, but I think the overarching concept here is how to make fat loss much more simple and much more sustainable and much easier over the long run. We also talk about strength training and deloads and how to go about that, but I really think you're gonna like this episode a lot. If you do, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. They help a ton. And if you would like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at the link in the show notes or www.sfinnercircle.com. Let's get into the episode.
Good to go. Let's see. Aaliyah, we are live. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jordan. How are you?
I'm great. I'm very excited. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Of course.
So do me a favor. Just tell me a little bit about yourself. I just want to get to know you first, and then we'll get into everything.
Okay, sounds good. So I guess long story short, so I'm a teacher. I teach high school chemistry, and I actually teach at a college, a local college as well. Nice. I am a mom of a 4-year-old toddler, as well as, I have 3 amazing stepsons. So they're technically all my kids. So I say I'm a mom of 4 boys, but I got 3 the easy way, 1 the hard way. my husband and I have been married since 2014. So life is great. And, I guess my health and fitness journey has been all over the place. So, we'll talk, I guess, more about that in a few minutes, but that's, I guess, a little bit about me.
That's amazing. All right. Yeah. So go in, tell me about your health and fitness journey.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So, I guess, so in high school, I was an athlete. College, I didn't play any sports, but, my husband and I met, right when I got out of high school. And so he already had his sons, and they were all wrestlers. So I guess while I was in college, I was pretty fit, and having to, take care of the boys and wrestling, you're a wrestler, yep. Health and fitness was around that. So in this, like in our household, it was very weight driven. Yep. It was constantly, jump on the scale. Are you on weight? Whatever. And nutrition, I guess, our boys are older now, so nutrition back then wasn't like, it was still cutting weight in terms of like, you stop eating, you're in with trash bags, like that type of stuff.
people who don't like have families involved in wrestling will have no idea what that means.
I
very much like the trash bag, like running up and downstairs. Like, yeah, unfortunately, super familiar.
Yes. Yeah. And I knew you would totally get it. So it was, I guess while I was in college, like I was still learning, about, like I worked out at the gym with my husband. Of course, all of our boys were really fit. So it was, anytime like it came to losing weight, it was always like, that's the default, but it was, I guess. Or it was the, clean eating, right? Like, so you had to, like, if you weren't eating like boiled chicken and, broccoli and stuff like that, right? Like that was it. Like there was no in between. So after, college and stuff, like when I, started teaching, like I was still pretty fit. I still worked out in the gym a lot, but at that point I'd started like into the Leigh Mills programs. I don't know if you know anything about those, like Body Pump and all of those. Loved Body Pump. I like started training to become a Body Pump instructor, and then was in a car accident, close to my senior year in college, and it messed up like the back of my shoulder and the back of my neck. So I struggled a lot with that, and it was like I just ended up quitting at that point. So I still worked out like here and there, but then I put on like a significant amount of weight, and so just from working out and eating well, like quote unquote clean eating, I kind of lost that weight again, and got back into my health routine and whatever. But it was very much like a very strict routine. Like if I wasn't on it, I wasn't on it type of thing.
Got it.
And I also in high school, I was just like a bag of broken bones, I guess you could say. I had like, I was diagnosed with like mild scoliosis in the bottom of my spine. So I had a lot of sciatica pain, like my freshman and sophomore year of college. So that really, like hindered, I guess, my working out. Cause it would just put me in more pain, I guess, than necessary. And I wasn't lifting properly. But as I got older and learned more, like as Instagram became more popular and, you know, Facebook became more popular, and I started seeing other workouts other than just the old basic bodybuilding that was in the gym, like more, you know, women could lift, you know, deadlifts and, you know, squats and heavy weight and things like that. The more I lifted and the heavier I lifted, the better I felt. I felt pretty good for a while. And then in 2017, I got pregnant with my son or toddler. And of course, you know, gained a significant amount of weight then, because that's what you do when you get pregnant, right?
Yep.
So after I had my son, I was about 20. So I went in, when I got pregnant with him, I was about 155 pounds. And just for reference, I'm about 5'7", 155 pounds. When I came out of the hospital or when I went in to deliver him, I was about 203 pounds. And then after a couple weeks after I delivered him, I was back down to about 175, which was, you know, like everything had kind of gotten back to normal, quote unquote. So that was like, I guess I gained about 20 pounds during that pregnancy. And it was miserable. When I tell you it was miserable, it was bad. And I know a lot of moms can probably relate to that. Like being a new mom is hard in general, but I was breastfeeding on top of, I developed postpartum anxiety, which most women develop postpartum depression.
Yeah.
Postpartum anxiety. I'd never experienced anxiety before that. So like I would go days without sleeping. I had really hard.
Really?
Yes. It was bad because I was like afraid like my child was going to die. Like it would sound so bizarre, but like I couldn't sleep because I was scared he was just going to like stop breathing in the middle of the night.
Wow. It doesn't sound crazy. Like from an evolutionary perspective, I could see why that would be a thing. Like just this brand new defenseless, brand new baby that you take complete care of. Like that makes sense to me. Like clearly not comfortable, but I can see why that might happen.
Yeah, it was rough for a while, like months and months. I was just exhausted and it made the anxiety worse. And postpartum anxiety wasn't talked about nowhere near as much as postpartum depression is, right? So
right.
Depression has become, and now all of postpartum things are becoming like more and more talked about now. But depression was more so than anxiety. So I didn't even know it was a thing. I had no idea that I had postpartum anxiety for like a year and a half.
Wow.
Until I finally like told my doctor, I was like, I can't sleep. Like I'm having trouble, even though I was still like, I wasn't losing weight. I was like struggling with breastfeeding and supply and things like that. So I didn't want to cut my calories or like try and quote unquote clean eat because I didn't know any better. Like I didn't know there was another way to, you know, lose weight other than like cutting everything out of my diet except for like salmon and broccoli and, you know, that type of stuff. Which I just, when you're tired, or this is what I found after a significant amount of therapy, I realized that that was one of my triggers, was that when I was overexhausted, I would reach for, you know, more sugary foods and things like that, more carbohydrates to, you know, keep my energy up. So, you know, it was that vicious cycle type of thing. So I didn't want to, like, I steered away from clean eating because I was like, I have to keep my energy up because I have to take care of this kid. And like, it was a whole big thing. So, and my poor husband, he was like, I want to help you, but I don't know what to do because I wouldn't let him do anything because I was just scared of everything. So,
got it.
Anyway, so after that, so after my son came and like I had all this anxiety, like I was having trouble, you know, obviously my nutrition was, you know, completely out of whack, hormones are out of whack, you know, I put on all this weight. I was, you know, dealing with being like a newborn mom because I'd already been a mom to my three boys, which was a lot easier because they were older, right? I got them the easy way. I had to be in a wedding. And I had like 6 or 8 months to quote unquote prep for the wedding. So I was like, this is when keto hit really big. And I was like, yes, I'm going to try keto. And so jumped on the keto bandwagon and jumped on the bandwagon with like a bunch of women that I've worked with. So we had like this big support group and almost like the inner circle. We set up a Facebook page and like we talk to each other every day on it, set like post recipes and like all this stuff. So I lost 30 pounds actually doing keto. And I felt great. Like I had, looking back on it, I was like, I felt great because I was like eating pretty much nutrient dense foods. Like even though it was keto and I wasn't eating carbohydrates, I was eating like a lot of lean protein and a lot of vegetables and stuff like that, which if you eat that stuff, you're going to feel good. Right.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
as soon as I came off of keto, guess what happened? It all came back, right? So I looked great for the wedding. I was super happy. And then keto is just not sustainable. So as soon as I stopped, it was like just completely went downhill from there. So I gained every pound of that back, every pound. I had trouble, you know, I got to a point where I was like, I don't even know what to do. Because I was significantly overweight. And so at that point, I like, you know, before that, I'd started therapy just to, because I was like, okay, something's not right here. Like, I can't get my life together. And I'm also type A personality. So usually my life's really together. And that's when my, you know, therapist was like, girl, you have a postpartum anxiety and we, you know, we're going to work on this. And so essentially over 2 years of therapy, what I realized was, you know, my sleeping habits, which was something that drew me to you, was I saw a post that you had made where it was, you were talking about like literally all you need is decent nutrition, 8 hours of sleep and move. And I was like, yes. 2 years of therapy felt like I found out that I function the best. Like my anxiety is completely gone now. I mean, I've spelled like here and there, but that's normal for people, right? Like people get anxious. That's normal, right?
Yes. Anxiety is part of being human. Yes.
It is. And so I realized my, you know, my lack of sleep and lack of nutrition and lack of working out exacerbated it. So as you know, working with the therapist, so about a year in, I started going back to the gym slowly but surely. I was just doing like, you know, the basic split of, you know, back biceps, chest triceps, you know, front of legs, back of legs, that type of thing. Not a ton of cardio. I've never been a cardio person. And I'm also not like a Zumba. I'm zero coordination, like absolutely. Weights is where it is for me, right? Because it takes no, like it does take effort, but it takes no coordination. So I started lifting again, felt pretty good, but I wasn't losing any weight. And I was like, kind of paying attention to what I was eating, but not really. And I thought I was. So then I went to like the annual checkup and I told my doctor, I was like, I'm working out really hard and I'm not losing any weight. Like, I think it's my thyroid, or I think it's my family, there's been a history of thyroid issues. So I was like, I think I want you to test my thyroid. I think it's something. So he was like, sure, fine, we'll test it. Test it. Comes back. I was on the border for hypothyroidism. So he was like, okay, you're on the border. However, he said, if we start you on medication, like there's really no coming back from this. Like you really need to take a look at what you're doing and make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, because if this can be fixed without you going on medication because you're not severe yet.
Wow. And I was like, I'm actually very happy to hear that, because not all doctors would do that.
Right. No. And my doctor is amazing. Amazing. He's an OB, but he's fantastic and very well read, and he just knows his stuff and he's super realistic. And I love realistic people, which is also why I was like drawn to your content, because it's so realistic and it's not bullshit, I guess you can say. It's normal stuff, right? Common sense. So anyways, I was like, okay, buddy, let's, you know, and so I'd followed your stuff for a while. So I started listening to your podcast a lot, and I was like, okay. So I was like, maybe I'm not being consistent. So I started with the consistency calendar and did, you know, some of the calorie stuff. And then I realized, I was like, when I started tracking calories, oh my God, the difference that made. Just, I learned so much about my nutrition in such a short period of time by tracking calories. I was so shocked. Like,
I love that.
Didn't realize, you know, like the amount of protein that I was eating. I was like, oh yeah, I'm totally eating enough protein. No, I was eating nowhere near enough protein. Right. Like snacking all the time, whatever. So I, in June, I was like, okay, I definitely need to just go ahead and bite the bullet and join the inner circle. So I did it. And I was like, started the Unicorn Strong Challenge. Also key component of this whole entire thing. I completely missed this. I had also realized, through your content, that I actually had a problem with binge eating, and my whole family has a problem with binge eating, and they are, wow. Binge, so like not binge purge type of eating, but like emotional binge eating, and then the whole yo-yo dieting after. So they'll binge eat, right? And so my I have several close family members, mothers, sisters, who are like obese, And so, but they'll go from being obese to being within their BMI, like that type of weight fluctuation within years. And that happens like frequently. So that was like the whole, I guess, background before, you know, I met my husband and then the wrestling family, like it was, that was the fix, right? Like, so we would binge and, you know, spend a couple months on whatever, and then do a yo-yo diet to get rid of it. But there was no, you know, work on our nutrition, no exercising, nothing like that. So I didn't realize any of that until I started listening and I was like, oh my gosh, I do have a binge eating problem. Like not a significant one, but like I would get emotional. And when I would get tired, I would start to eat all those sugary foods and those carbohydrates. And I would go days where I would just eat and eat and eat and eat and overeat until I like almost made myself sick because it just like kept, was like a cycle.
Yeah.
And so in April of this year was like the last spell I had with binge eating. I haven't binged since.
No way. That's amazing. Huge congrats. That, wow. That makes me incredibly happy to hear.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a very big like eye opener. I was like, oh my gosh. And that's when I knew I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a couple more months of trying to like work on the consistency stuff and then jump into the inner circle. So I did and started the Unicorn Strong Challenge. So the summertime I hit it hard and it went so well, finished all 3 months. I only lost 4 pounds, didn't track my inches. But when I tell you, when I posted the pictures in the inner circle, everybody's like, oh my God, like I looked like a whole different human.
I love that. That's incredible.
Yeah. And consistency was really where it was for me because I thought I was being consistent. And without the consistency calendar, I don't think people realize how inconsistent they're being sorry. I'm a chemistry teacher, not an English major.
No, you're right. It was one of the things that really surprised me the most as a coach, as a younger coach. It was so interesting for me to see how someone could email me, because when I was doing one-on-one coaching, people would email me every day, 7 days a week, with like how many calories they had the day before, what their protein was. And I was keeping track. They're like, okay, so this person missed like 5 days this week of consistent, literally they missed 5 days. And then in a couple days later, they'd be like, I don't know why I'm not making progress. And it blew my mind to be like, well, let's go through these last 7 emails you sent. You literally were inconsistent for 5 out of those days. Why do you think you should be making progress? And I remember making a video early on in my Instagram days. It was one of my first ever videos, basically with the title of like, you don't deserve to be frustrated with your progress if you aren't being consistent. And it wasn't until several years later where I was like, I need to make a calendar so that they can actually track this. And it helps me too, even like not fitness and nutrition stuff, but like in life with things that I struggle with, to track my consistency on a calendar. And I use the Inner Circle app calendar for that because it's like seeing it and having the percentage of consistency at the end of every month, it makes a huge difference.
A huge, huge difference. And it's so simple, but it has such a huge impact on everything. And it really, when I felt like after tracking my consistency for a few months, I went back to my doctor because I had to have my thyroid stuff retested. And I was like, I'm so sorry for telling you that I was like working out really hard and eating well, because I really wasn't. Like I thought I was, but I wasn't. And my thyroid stuff was back to normal. He was like, everything looks good. Your panel. Yes. So, you know, and I know that I'm not like, people have thyroid issues and hormonal issues. Like those are a real thing. And, you know, they do affect people significantly. However, you know, it's like my whole family, my whole life has been like, oh, well, we're predisposed to this and we're predisposed to that. And I'm like, well, how much stuff would we like not be suffering from if we paid attention to our, you know, health and fitness?
Oh my God. What I mean? Preach. Thank you. Thank you. I want to shout that from the mountaintops. Like, wow, I could not have said that any better. I love that.
Like, let's just try that first. And then if that doesn't work, then we've got a real problem.
Yes, right? Exactly.
You know, and I'm not a jump on medicine type of first anyway. Not that I'm like, I'm totally down. Like give me the drugs if I need them. But, you know, if I don't need them, if I can, you know, figure out a way to feel better without them, then that's what I'm going to do first.
I love everything you're saying. I'm just like fist pumping this whole time. and it would, not to get political, we're not going to get political, but what you just said, I wish
I've been shocked over the last 2 years how little we've heard from like the powers that be about, hey, how about you get up and move around, get some exercise in, focus on your nutrition. I've heard nothing like shutting down gyms and making it harder for people to get out and exercise and to move. It's like, I've heard nothing about taking control over what you do have control over, your own movement and exercise and nutrition, to actually do the best you can to get control of your health. Like and when you were just saying that, I was like, man, this is a message that we all need to see and hear, what you exactly you said.
Absolutely. You're so right. And I feel that like deep within. I felt it for the past 2 years as well. Even though I wasn't following it necessarily, but I was like, when I realized, like when, so my therapist fired me, not because she actually fired me, but she was like, you don't need me anymore.
Well, that's great.
I know. So like when we solved all this stuff that I like, you know, had going, and she was like, when I figured all that out, I was like, had I realized this, like all I needed to do, I was like, I was suffering so significantly. And so was my family, like my, you know, my kids and my husband and, you know, my job and all of that stuff was suffering because I had anxiety that was exacerbated from not working out and eating properly and sleeping 8 hours a night. What is that? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this whole thing, I totally agree with you. Like and teaching students too, or kids, you know, through this pandemic has been very eye-opening in terms of like their own, you know, getting out, moving, eating right, that type of stuff. Like I've seen a whole different side to it that most people haven't seen unless they have children. But you know, that's a whole different. Then,
you see a different. You don't see it in just like one or two children. You see it in across populations of children like that.
Yeah.
That's a super interesting perspective.
Yeah, and it's been hard on them, and you know, because kids are active, man. Like, and that whole thing you said about the metabolism. Oh my God, got me. You know, the whole your metabolism doesn't slow down. I was like, I will never say it again. And every person that says it, I correct them. I'm like, no, go check your sleep app because it's been updated. And you know, but kids that, you know, kids move and they're, you know, constantly going. And so for them to not be able to go, it really, really, really has affected them. And thankfully we're kind of getting back to a place. We're not normal. Nothing's going back to normal, but we're getting, you know, back to a new sense of normalcy. You know, they're doing better.
A new sense of normalcy. I like that. I haven't heard that. That's exactly right. It's a new sense of normalcy.
Yeah. Yeah. So the kids are getting better, but that whole, you know, just them, this, I don't know, that shutting everything down when it came to like your health and fitness, or not even, and you know what, shut the gyms down. That's fine. However, you know, you also, as much as you're, you know, preaching all the other things, they're very, very important. I'm a science person, right? Like I have a science background. I'm like, you know, I get it, but you can't miss those other components, which are just as important. You know, being healthy and eating well is so important. You know, getting up and just moving, walking outside, that's super important. Like those types of things should have never, ever like gone to the wayside. That should have always been talked about. That should have been front and center, like do these things and this and this and this, right? Like,
yeah, so. It's so funny. It's sort of, and the more we talk about it, I'm shaking my head, nodding my head in agreement. It's like, it's sort of like, you know, supplement companies, like people go to supplements to try and fix all their health and fitness problems. Like as soon as someone's like, oh, I'm going to start working out, like the first thing they do is go to GNC and buy fat burning pills and all this stuff. It's like, no, the first thing you should do is get your exercise in check, like work out 3 to 4 times a week, make sure you're eating fruits and vegetables and lean proteins and sleeping 8 hours a night. Like that should be the front facing, the most important thing that you're doing, not going for the supplements, right? It's like, and I feel like so much of what's been pushed is just like the stuff that you should do once everything else is already in check. Like once you've got your health in check, once you've got your exercise in check, once you've got your nutrition in check and you're staying hydrated and drinking water and sleeping, once that's in check, then we can talk about the other stuff. But like, or at the very least, don't ignore like the health and fitness stuff, the sleep and the nutrition and the training. Don't ignore that.
Exactly. And I was that person. Okay. I've tried all the supplements. I've tried all the, like, you don't even know how many programs I bought, like the 8-week program, like 8 week to do this, 8 week to do that. Right. I've been there. I've done it all. And none of it works. None of it works. The only thing that works is just the normal, like just the basics, sleep 8 hours, you know, be consistent, whatever you're doing, just be consistent with it. And like, for example, the back pain that I used to have, like my sciatica, when I tell you it was bad when I was in college, like there was days I couldn't walk. And they thought that I was going to have to have surgery. Like it was craziness. And I'm not a pill taker. So I just didn't take like anything. Like I would just suffer through it. My husband was like, he always was worried about me working out, like lifting. Cause he was very much of the, you know, you might get hurt cause you're a woman type of thing. Right. And he's not like, and when I tell you, he's not, you know, that like, he's not a caveman. He just like was, you know, he did wanted to protect me. Right. Like he's like, I just don't want you to get hurt. Yes, exactly. So it's not that he always wanted me to go work out with him and stuff like that, but he was always just like, okay, lift lighter weights. Like, I don't want you to get hurt, that type of thing. And since I've been consistently working out, like, so I took CBD for like 2 years as well to help with the back pain. And it really significantly got me to a place where I like reduced the inflammation enough that I could lift really well. Good.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so once, like, I don't have to take it anymore, but when I started, I guess back in January with like lifting consistently again, like I started deadlifting and I had never really deadlifted before. Like I had done some here and there, but not like consistent deadlifts. And my starting weight was 125. That was like all I could deadlift. Now it's what? November. My max last week was 205 for five reps. Not even kidding.
For five reps?
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's amazing. And pain-free.
Pain-free. When I tell you pain-free, like I have no back pain anymore. I have no, like all of that stuff that used to like my husband would like call me grandma. He's like, you're such an old grandma. Like you're broken all the time. And I don't have that type of pain anymore because the muscles surrounding all of those ligaments and joints are so much stronger. Like they hold everything where they're supposed to be. And I'm like, why was I not doing this so long ago? Why did I step on doctors and physical therapy? And nobody said, hey, just go to the gym and lift heavier. Like that was never a thing, right? So,
I love that.
You know,
it's
and
my husband's like,
it really is. And everybody's like, well, why, you know, why do you lift so much? Why do you lift such heavy weight? And I'm like, hey, I have a 4-year-old that's 50 pounds.
Like, that's exactly right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't want to get hurt. And so it's like,
I see these recommendations. I see like these workout programs are like, women shouldn't lift more than 3 pounds. I'm like, most women's purse weigh more than 3 pounds. Like what are you talking about? Like get them lifting heavy. It's people really don't understand that getting stronger is one of the best things you can do to eliminate pain.
Yes. 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 Thank you for saying that because people don't say that enough. And it's always, I don't even know. It's always like, here, put the Band-Aid on it, take this medicine, do this, like stretch more, whatever. Yeah, that stuff works. Or heat and ice. The doctor that you had on the podcast, Squat University, I can't remember his
name. Oh, Aaron Horshey, yeah.
Amazing. So smart. That guy's videos when it comes to pain and injuries has really helped in terms of like, you know, some type of like, I'll get pain here. And so like, I'll go to his stuff and I'm like, okay, like what could be causing it? Like, how do I fix it in the gym? Like, and it just I can get it fixed in a couple of weeks and keep moving. Like, I don't need, you know, significant amounts of anything. Like I feel so good.
I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's like my whole, you know, background, like health and fitness journey, I guess.
That's amazing. I'm super impressed and I really appreciate you, I don't even think you're going to realize how many people that's going to inspire and really help. So thank you for sharing that. Is there anything that, I mean, it sounds like you're crushing it. Is there anything that I can help you with?
Okay. So there is a little, like, I guess my thing currently is, so, I've actually, when I started the Unicorn Strong Challenge, I started at 176 pounds. I finished the Unicorn Strong Challenge September. And I'm currently down to 163 pounds. So I've lost.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So I've lost 13 pounds. Yeah. Thank you. I've lost 13, which honestly, it started out about the weight loss and the more I work out and the more I continue and I see my strength gains, the less it's become about the weight loss for me.
I love that. It's so funny. So I was literally just before you and I got on a call, I was on a call with another Inner Circle member. Her name is Katie. And I'm probably going to publish these two calls back to back because it's literally just like I had one call, then immediately hopped on this. And she said literally the exact same thing about how it first started off. She just wanted to lose weight. And now she still wants to lose some weight, but she loves seeing her strength go up. And that's the biggest motivator for her.
Yes. Yes. Me too. It's the exact same thing because I really wanted to be a certain weight. But then I was like, I'm kind of struggling right now with like, I still have some weight to lose that I feel like I would be like happiest, like between 150 and 155. However, if I'm like a beast in the gym, I don't know that I'll care. Like, I don't know if it matters. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yeah, I get it. There's just there's nothing that I've found in my life that is as builds your confidence and makes you happier than watching your body improve. Not in terms of like, oh, cool, I can see an ab vein or like, oh, like my shoulders are bigger. It's like, look at what I can do. Look at what I can lift. Like, look at how much stronger I've gotten. Look at how much more capable I am. It's like, there's something about performance enhancement in your own body. Something that I think was previously only available to higher level athletes that is now available to all of us. Like, to be able to improve your performance at a high level, it's addicting.
Yes. Yes. It's addicting. And I have to limit myself because I get going a little too much and then I'm like, okay, I can't like get hurt. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta, you know, tone it back a little bit, just little bits at a time. Like, I don't have to, because my gains in certain areas have been so significant, like deadlift 125 to 205. Like, that's huge in a year.
That's, and that's absolutely unbelievable.
Now I will say that's only for deadlift. My other exercises are not there yet. Like, they're still, you know, my weight has not, you know, it's still improved, but not at that ratio. So, but I don't want to like go crazy and try and hurt myself. Like, that's not my goal. My goal is to just, you know, steadily, progressively overload and just keep getting stronger.
I love that. And it's so funny. Like, it's, you just use terminology like progressive overload and the way you speak, I think you might take it for granted. I know you're a science-based person, so like it might not seem that impressive to you, but the way you just spoke, like, it's going to seem very small. I have a feeling you're a teacher. Like, you probably, sometimes a student might say something that will like knock you on your ass. Like, wow, that was a very eloquent way to put that whatever they said that maybe like an adult might not have been able to do. And like, wow, that was really well said by that student. It's sort of like to hear you say that in a way that was just so eloquent and intelligent and straightforward and science backed. I'm like, wow, Aaliyah, amazing. I love that. I had to interrupt and say that because it's one of those things that it's so simple and it seems like it should be common sense, but the way you put it so succinctly, just, you're 100% right.
Thank you. Thank you. It's, and speaking of my students, I've been passing along everything that I learned to them in high school, because all of my kids lift. Our weightlifting coach is fantastic. He's amazing. And there's just so much that, you know, they miss here and there and they try and lift on their own. I'm like, hey, you need to check this guy out because he's amazing and he's got great content. So I like send them all of your stuff. But that's
just, that's amazing.
If somebody would have did that for me, like if your content was accessible to me in high school, I can't imagine where I would be right now. If that makes sense. Like, there's so much that I've learned. And so I was like, you know what? And I'm all about, I'm a giver of information as well. So I'm like, anything I learn, I pass it along. So my kids have really like gravitated towards that. They love it. And they love seeing, I guess, and you probably did this in high school or even in, you know, middle school or with coaches and things like that. It's like, if you can connect with your teacher in some way, like, they love that. Right. So when we can talk about weightlifting, like them being in the gym and me being in the gym and I'm like, guess what? I deadlifted today. And they're like, what? You know? So
I bet that helps them relate to you so much more. And it probably actually improves their learning comprehension and then what they pay attention to in class because they can relate to you. Like, that makes total sense.
I would like to think so. I don't know if it happens all the time, but they're pretty
well,
great.
Kids will be kids no matter what.
yeah, for sure. So that's really what I'm doing, I guess, in the gym in terms of strength training. So I think where I hit my wall so far, and this is going to be a problem for me, I guess, forever until I retire from teaching. And unfortunately, I have 20 years left and I love my job. like love my job. So there's no unfortunate part about that. But this is going to be a problem that I have. So in the summertime, it's like, it's almost like the summertime is just a standstill. Like I have nothing to, like I do nothing in the summer except for hang out with my kid, and do a little bit of traveling here and there and, you know, go on vacation, whatever, stay home, go to the gym. Like every day, that's like part of our routine with the toddler. The boys, my older boys are all older. So my toddler, like we just go to the gym every day. That's our routine. Every day is like we go to the gym and then we go play at the playground and whatever. So I go like 4 or 5 days a week, 6 days a week in the summertime. When it comes to school time, because I work at two different schools, I'm a, you know, adjunct professor as well as a, you know, full-time teacher as well as a mom. And my husband works at UPS, so he works all the time because he's always delivering packages because everybody decided to order more things online because of COVID, which we're thankful for. It's good that he has a job. But he works all the time. So I've got, like, during the school year, a significant amount of things to balance. And so I went from going to, like, 5 to 6 days a week in the gym over the summer to, like, barely being able to make it 3 days a week. So I guess one of the things that, you know, I'm currently struggling with is like balancing everything. So I would like to tell you, thank you so much for having the 3 day option in the programs, because the programming of those exercises from, because I did the 4 day a week in the Unicorn Strong Challenge, I feel like I'm still getting everything that I need in that 3 day a week.
That makes total sense. It makes me incredibly happy. Yeah, it's one of the things. I know sometimes people, they think, oh, 3 times a week, it's not going to work. It's like more is definitely better. And I say this all the time, but like you're the best example of 3 and 4 times a week, the way that it's programmed, that I have it programmed, they're equally effective as long as you're consistent with one of them. That, so if you're staying consistent with 3 times a week and it's made your life easier, that makes me so happy.
Okay, good. Because I'm like worried about, you know, in terms of, and I know like this is one of those things that I have to kind of let go a little bit, but when I start to get busy, I start to get tired, I start to, my nutrition starts to slack a little bit. Like there'll be a day where, you know, I don't weigh in the morning. And then I don't quite track my calories like I should. And then even though I know good and well that my weight the next day is probably going to be a little bit higher. And even if it's not a little bit higher, there's nothing, it's not that big of a deal because I'm comparing to the month before, I still don't weigh in the next day. And so it becomes a cycle. And I didn't notice it. Like I was so consistent. Like I was over 80% consistent and very happy with over 80%. Cause I know that, you know, like I was still having my O-days when I wanted them and all that fun stuff. But I was super consistent over the summer, but as soon as school hit, it was like, we also went from being all virtual last year to completely face-to-face this year. So it was a huge curve, like being back face-to-face with students, which was amazing. Like I love it, but it's so draining. and, you know, having to come up with a new routine and, you know, adding this back in because training has not been a part of my routine in a normal school year at all. And since my son's been born. So because last year when I started training again, we were still virtual. So I finished at, you know, 3 o'clock and then went straight to the gym and I didn't have any commute times or anything like that. And thankfully my gym was still open. So it was super easy then, but now we're face to face and it's like, I have all these extra commute times and like all this craziness. So I don't know if you have any, you know, tips or what should I be prioritizing in order to make sure that I stay, I don't know how to describe it, like in the gym, like I don't want to go backwards, but I also am not as concerned with like making huge gains because I know that like, I'm already tired from work. I'm already tired from keeping up with the baby, like that type of stuff. So I don't want to overdo, like do it to the point that I burn myself out.
That makes sense. I love that. You articulated it very well. So let me ask you this. What is your current workout schedule? You're doing the 3 times a week, but what days do you lift?
So the days that I lift are usually Monday, Tuesday, and then either Wednesday or Friday, depending on what days I have to like run errands and things like that. And then I work my adjunct work is on Thursdays, but in the spring it'll go to 2 days. So in the spring I'll be lifting Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Okay. Okay. So, and is that before school or after school?
After school. I've found that I lift way more in the afternoons. Like I don't feel as strong in the mornings. I think it's because I'm not awake.
It's very common. I'm the same way. I've noticed it across the board. There's actually a fair amount of research on this as well. It's an interesting discussion to have. It's one of the reasons why some people will say the best time of day to work out is like around 3 p.m. or something, because that's like when your strength is at its peak. But it really doesn't matter. As long as you get the workouts in, that's most important. There's a lot of potential reasons as to why your strength might not be the best in the early morning hours. I think a lot of it for me I've found is like, if you've just spent ideally 7 to 9 hours on your, like sleeping on your back, on your side, whatever, and then you get up and your joints sometimes a little bit achy, you haven't been moving as well, you're like the neuromuscular connections are not firing very quickly. Like it takes time to build up and to warm up and to get that power and that strength and that movement fluidity. So it makes sense that like sometime in the early afternoon, early evening, it's when you're at your strongest. But let me ask you this. Would you ever want to, or would it be easier for you? And this is all about convenience for you. Would it be easier for you to work out on the weekends or no?
I could work out on the weekends, but the way I currently have it set up is during the week, I do all the things. And then on the weekends, I'm only with my son and my husband, because he's only off on Sunday. So he works 6 days a week. Try and save like all of those things, like to do it while my son is with he stays with my sister-in-law, so while he's not with me, I try and get all of those things done, so that way when I am with him, I can like spend focus time like with him, if that makes sense.
Makes total sense. So I'll tell you what is a potential suggestion, and then you can decide, okay, that is or is not a good idea for you. But sometimes when I have people who are teachers or whatever, who work like a lot in the Monday through Friday, is the 3 times a week program doing day one and day two, Saturday, Sunday. And then basically, because day one is lower body, day two is upper body, so you can do those back to back, and then doing the day three full body on Wednesday or Thursday is usually a good bet. Again, you do not have to do this way, but I was just thinking, if that would make it easier for you, I want you to know that option is totally fine.
Okay, I'm making notes. This might be something that I'll try and implement in the spring, because we won't be in peak season for UPS. That's what they call it, Christmas time. So I might get my husband back a little bit more of the time, but that might work better in terms of my teaching schedule, because I do teach 2 times. Or 2 nights a week. So having 3 nights where I'm training, 2 nights where I'm teaching, I might like kill myself. So yeah. that might be worth implementing. I could totally make it work on Saturdays and Sundays. There's not, other than just, you know, scheduling and stuff like that, like I could make it work. That's for sure. I think I should definitely try that in the spring, if not sooner.
It's not inherently superior or better from a physiological response. However you structure, as long as you're not doing all the workouts 3 days in a row, you're going to be good. Like you can do upper body, lower body back to back if you'd like, no matter what. Right. And then one or 2 days rest in between the full body and then the other ones. But I found that one is a really nice option, just because you only have, so sometimes at the end of the day, after a long work day, you're drained, you're tired. Like sometimes to do an intense workout after that 3 times a week or 4 times a week, it's a lot, and it can be draining. And then you feel like your progress isn't going quickly enough. And so having 1 day a week where you only have that type of, where you have to get the workout in after the workday can sometimes be, you know, a little bit of a load off your shoulders. And then you can get a really good sleep right before you go to the gym on Saturday, Sunday. But again, you do not have to do that. I just wanted to make sure you know that is an option.
Yeah, for sure. No, and it makes sense because I've noticed too that, you know, the days that I have had to do, or the days that I've done the, I can't space them out as well, in terms of the upper body, lower body, full body. I've pushed it off. Like I've waited a day or two because my body hasn't recovered.
Yes. Yep.
From the other 2 days. Like I can tell, I can feel it. I'm like, ooh, let's just not do that because I don't feel like I'm ready for the next, for that full body where I need to give it my all, because it is a pretty significant, like intense workout, which is good. But I don't want to like injure myself. That's my main thing. I'm like, I'm almost 30. I need to like pay attention to injuries
now. Yeah. And you know what? This brings up another sort of an important discussion that I don't even think I've ever really had this discussion on a call like this, but it's important, especially because your strength is rapidly increasing. And I know like your deadlift rapidly increasing. I know you said your other lifts aren't as fast, which is normal. The deadlift is usually the quickest to progress. It's a full body lift with huge muscle groups involved. It's from a leverage perspective, it's usually the easiest lift. So it makes sense that that's the fastest to go up, but you're getting stronger very rapidly. And as you get stronger, it's going to get harder and harder to lift more weight. And I think a lot of times people, they get ahead of themselves a little bit and they expect that type of strength gain to stay consistent forever. Even if you logically know it won't, maybe there's sometimes this subconscious expectation for it to keep increasing. But what you have to remember is the stronger you get, the more stress you're actually putting on your body. And the stress in some ways can be very good because you need that stressor in order to get stronger and to build more muscle and to improve your performance. But after a certain point, that stress, like, it takes a bigger toll on your muscular system. It takes a bigger toll on your joints. It takes a bigger toll on your CNS, on your central nervous system. It takes a bigger toll on your body. And what I want you to be very aware of is it's sort of like just becoming the obnoxious term that I think it's a little bit obnoxious that people will use it in marketing for workouts is they call it biofeedback, and they'll say, do my biofeedback program, da 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 da. But like it, if you really think about it, it is biofeedback, but it's just listening to your body is what biofeedback means, where
right.
You need to get very good about listening to your body. And if you go in the gym after a long workday and you don't, like, you feel a little bit achy, you just don't feel good, and you start lifting and like things are not feeling strong, I want you to be 100% okay reducing the weight for that workout, going a little bit lighter. And some people, oh, just don't just go through the motions. No, sometimes it's okay to just go through the motions. I forget who it was. Maybe it was Woody Allen, who was like 90% of life is just showing up. That it's sort of the same thing with this, especially as you get stronger and stronger and stronger. Sometimes the way to prevent injury and the way to maintain a high level of performance is actually not all the time, but when you need it, being okay with saying, you know what, I'm going to reduce the weight. I'm not going to go for a personal record today. I'm going to get the reps in. It's going to be a little bit difficult, but it's not going to be excruciating. And you're going to get in, get the work done, and get out. And I think sometimes the pressure that you can put on yourself to reach a higher level of performance can actually sometimes do more harm than good when you expect to just go as hard as possible every single time. So I know this is a long rant, but I hope it's helpful just in you knowing like, hey, it's okay to not lift as heavy as possible every single day.
Yeah, no, I thank you for saying that and confirming that feeling, because some days I go in there and I'm like, it's not worth me trying to get hurt. But I'm a person who has to go through the motions regardless, because it's in terms of consistency. If I don't show up, I stop showing up.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it's momentum, right? Like as long as you show up, the momentum keeps rolling. But if you stop the momentum, it's hard to get the ball rolling again.
Yes, exactly. So I'm the type of person that has to show up, and I can't. And it's been really like, my son got married last weekend. So
the week before.
Thank you. We're very, very excited. We got a baby coming, a grandbaby coming. So we're very, very happy. But I had to take the entire week off at the gym just to do wedding errands and making sure everything was squared away and whatever. And that was very difficult, because that's the first week that I've quote unquote taken off, but I made, like, it was on purpose. I was like, I'm not just not going. Like, I have other things that are priority right now. I was like, you can take 1 week off. It's going to be fine. And then, you know, on Monday, you're going to get right back on it. And that's exactly what I did.
I love that. That's huge.
It was hard. It was hard. Like, let me tell you, it was hard because it was one of those. And even the wedding weekend, I was like, in terms of, you know, nutrition, I was like, okay, wait, I do have two questions. But in terms of nutrition, I was, you know, programmed in like 2 O days, even though they ended up not being O days, I still met my goals during the wedding weekend, which was,
wow.
Yeah, I was like, but the amount that I was moving and like the, you know, types of food we were eating, it ended up turning out really well. And, you know, you just got married. Congratulations on your marriage, by the way.
Thank you.
I didn't get to say all that, but, it's, you know, better than anybody. It's just, you know, you're constantly going, getting things together. So, I didn't really have a chance to sit and eat like I wanted to. So I just like drank protein shakes and grabbed protein snacks. And like, I hit my goals either way. And then I weighed in when I hadn't weighed all week because I hadn't gone to the gym all week. So I just kind of like set everything down, like my calories and like everything. I just put it all away for the week to really focus on the wedding, making sure I had everything together. And which was super hard. But when I weighed in, I was down 3 pounds on Monday.
No way.
The Monday before, yes. And I hadn't touched anything all week. But I think because, you know, like you had said, the more you track your calories, because I've listened to some people who are concerned with like tracking calories, like, do I have to track forever? Because it is tedious and it is hard. However, the amount that you learn, like that whole week, I just made natural choices that I would normally make while I was counting the calories. I just didn't put them in my tracker. And so, yeah, like, you know, it was still, everything ended up working out right in the end, even though I took a whole week off, an intentional week off.
You used the knowledge that you gained from calorie counting to essentially intuitively eat, but it was intuitive eating built on the foundation of knowledge that you gained.
Yes, 110%, because that whole intuitive, somebody told me one time, like, oh, you should just intuitively eat. And I was like, okay, intuitively eating is eating donuts and cookies and pasta. And like, that's my intuitive eating. Okay. Like, I want to eat the good food, right?
Pizza. Yeah. Like, exactly. You tell me to intuitively, I'm going to go to intuitively eat Papa John's. Like, let's go.
Right. Exactly. But now that I've learned, you know, all the stuff I have about my nutrition. And so, and I'm also a creature of habit. Like, I eat the same thing for breakfast and lunch every single day during the week. When I'm at work, it's like just normal because I'm like going to work. So I just, and I'm okay with that. Some people aren't, I am. It makes life easier for me. But that anyways, so, you know, taking that week off, it was like, oh my goodness, I needed it, but it was hard to do on purpose and getting that momentum back going this week and knowing like, okay, you didn't just skip out last week. Like you had real things to do that were very, very important in life. And, you needed to be there for those moments and doing those things. And then now we're getting back on it and it's fine. Everything's fine. Nothing went left. You made it a whole entire week and you're okay. Keep going. That was a big thing.
That's amazing.
But so I had two questions that I thought about when you were talking about the, you know, being in the gym and making sure you're not overdoing it and, you know, injuries and things like that. Okay. So, and I know you definitely know what this is. Some people may not, but I've seen it. I follow a lot of like, you know, health and fitness people, you know, on social media. But a deload week. Is a deload week a real thing? And is it necessary? Is it a good thing? Should you do it? Is it necessary?
Great question. So a deload week is a real thing. It's real and there's validity to it. The way that most people approach deloads, and I'm going to say the way that I recommend deloads, because it is a little bit, it's a little bit different. Actually, one sec. I wrote an article on deloads. I think it was like 2013. So one sec. Jordan Syatt deloads. I wanted to see if I can find this really quick. Oh, yeah. Wow. So I wrote it for Arnold Schwarzenegger's website in October of 2014. And the title of the article is Deloading is a Waste of Your Time.
Okay.
It's sort of a misleading title. But so basically – a deload, it's not a waste of your time. It's a clickbait title. And yeah, anyway, right. Deloading, the way most people program it is most programs last 4 weeks. Okay. Some are six, some are eight, some are 12. But generally speaking, most programs are 4 weeks, especially if you get into the strength and conditioning world. 4 weeks is a really good amount of time to get the adaptations you need, and then you switch to a new phase. And, you know, that's how the Inner Circle programs work. Every 4 weeks, new plan. Most people, when they structure a deload, is they do week one, week two, week three. The fourth week, they deload. And essentially what they mean is week one, two, three, you go hard, harder, hardest. And on week four, you reduce the weight by a certain percentage, sometimes 10, 15, 20%. And it's a light week. And then you go into week one on the new program, hard, harder, hardest. And you repeat that cycle. Now, it's not a bad plan, but I think that way is a waste of time for most people, because you can't plan when you're going to feel strong and when you're going to be your strongest. And when I followed these methods, it would piss me off, because sometimes I'd be on week four and I'd go in the gym and I'd feel like a rock star, but the plan said I had to lift like at 70%. And I was like, this sucks. Like, I could hit a personal record today, or I feel great. I want to lift heavy. I don't want to go light today. And that for me is where I found there's a massive flaw in pre-planning breaks or pre-planning deload periods. So what I started to do is I realized that the first week, and I'm sure you've realized this doing the workouts, the first week that you do any new workout, it's a learning curve week. You're learning the new exercises. You're learning the new techniques. You have to go lighter anyway, because it's your first week doing it. You can't really go too hard on week one, because it's a brand new phase. It's a brand new plan. And the first week, you're always the most sore. Like, the first week, the soreness is the worst. And then week two, week three, week four, the soreness gets progressively less and less and less as you adapt to the workouts. So I realized if you can't go as heavy on week one anyway, and you're going through the motions just to learn the technique and the exercises, and you don't want to get debilitatingly sore, how about we make week one a built-in deload week, where week one you go lighter because you're not going to go super heavy the first week doing those exercises anyway. You go through the motions, you learn the techniques, you make sure the workout is, you understand it. And then week two is hard, week three is harder, and week four is hardest. And then week one, when you start the new phase again, that's again a lighter week, a built-in deload. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So both of them work, and I have colleagues, like close friends and great colleagues, who do it the way that I said first, that I think is a waste of time, and we'll go out and we'll get beers and I'll say they're stupid, they'll say whatever, right? Like, we'll argue about it, but we'll have fun. I think the way that I do it is the best way, which, like, if I didn't think that, then you probably shouldn't do my programs. Like, I believe in the way that I do it best, for sure. Right. Just from personal experience and from what I've seen in the research, and also like what I've seen with the people that I coach, week one is almost always the week where you need to go lighter anyway. So let's use that as a built-in deload. And then week two, week three, week four, you progressively go harder, 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 get the progressive overload, challenge yourself. Week four is usually the week where you're like, all right, it's the last week on this program, so let's go 100%. And it was always so anticlimactic. I was like, I got to week four and I wanted to go hard, but it was like the program was built in, go light. I was like, this sucks. So for me, it's a little bit more of a fun and effective way to go through the workout.
Got it. Okay, perfect. Because I noticed that usually by week five or six, and I know the programs change, but when I was like switching from Uniform Strong Challenge to the monthly editions for the first time, and then the first monthly edition to the next one, usually by week five and six of just being consistent, it didn't really matter which program I was in, but I noticed my body was like, you need a break. Like,
yes, yes.
Everything I lifted was so heavy, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, and so and I'd seen deload weeks and I was like, do I try it? Do I not try it? And I think intuitively I was doing it anyways, because if I can't lift it, I'm like, nope, I'm not even taking the chance. Like, I've got a toddler, I've got to work. Like, I don't have time for an injury. So yeah, I immediately cut the weight anyways. But I was like, is there a way to do it where, like you said, like try it, because I might try this for a little bit and see if that also helps with the energy levels as well. You know, taking a deload week for the first week, that way I'm just kind of like, you know, conserving, and then, you know, hit it hard for the, you know, second, third, fourth, and, you know, kind of go up and then start the new one. That might work well for me. So I might try that, if you would recommend that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Okay. And then, My other question was, and I'm pretty sure you said this, but I don't know if you've explicitly said this out loud. I think it's like been roundabout talked about, but when it comes to the consistency calendar and the X's and O's, I haven't looked at, let me preface this by saying I have not looked at the calorie cycling challenge yet. Going to, just not yet. I haven't done it yet because I just want to do one thing at a time and not overload myself and then get overwhelmed and whatever. So if I program, so like all week, like I have my calories set. So I'm eating, my goal is 1650 for the week or for like every single day, actually. And then I just kind of bank calories if I don't. So like, I think you've said it before, like usually at the beginning of the week, I'm not as hungry. So usually I had about 1400 to 1500 calories on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. By the end of the week, I get more hungry, you know, throughout the days, cause you know, I'm getting more tired. So I up my calories at that point, but I kind of like bank calories and then kind of save them for the weekend because that's when the kid is home and my husband's home. And like, we just kind of hang out and relax and enjoy each other. So I try not to track on the weekends as heavily, but if I have calories, quote unquote, saved from like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like the earlier days in the week, and I don't necessarily, like I hit my protein goal, but I don't hit the 1650 for the weekend. And this may, I may be answering my own question, but I just want to hear you say it. I can still count that as an X, correct? Like I still hit my goal.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Okay. It's I think of it in terms of, instead of daily calorie intake, I think of it in terms of weekly calorie intake. So if you're hitting 1650 a day, multiply that by 7, we've got 11,550 calories. I'm not a math whiz. I just did that on my calculator. So that's 11,550 calories per week. So you divide that by 7 and you just get 1650 a day. But if you let's say only hit, I'm not telling you to do this, but if you decide, you know what, I'm only going to hit 1400 or 1450 Monday through Friday, then you get, we'll say 1450 times 5 is, that's 5,800, right? So that's how you've eaten 5,800 by the end of Monday through Friday. So then the remaining calories you have left are good for Saturday, Sunday as well.
Got it. Okay, perfect. That's what kind of what I've been doing. And I leave my goal at 1650 for the week every single day, because I've found that if I like say, okay, I'm going to pre-plan 1400 for this day and then 1400, whatever, as soon as I put a cap on it, I immediately go over it. Like I'm the worst. But if I'm like, oh, I've got six, it's like a game. Like, oh, I've got 1650. Like how many calories can I save and still feel really good? But the longer that I've been counting calories and tracking my protein, when I hit my protein goal, like I have no problem making my calories. Like it's no big deal. And I'm not hungry and I'm not starving and I'm not, you know, whiny and I'm not fiending for snacks. I used to be the biggest snack person on the face of the planet. It was like a running joke with all colleagues and like my students and everybody, because they were like, you're always eating. And I was like, I know, I'm always hungry. Like I just eat all the time. I'm surprised I didn't weigh more before my pregnancy because of that. But since, you know, January, when I started like really tracking, and then once I joined the Inner Circle in June, my sister just joined the Inner Circle 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
Oh, that's amazing.
And she was, I know, I'm super excited for her. Her and her fiance joined, but she was like, okay, so what do you do for snacks? I was like, snacks? I was like, I don't think I eat snacks anymore. Because, and I told her, I was like, I mean, I do here and there. And I told her, like, you know, like Greek yogurt and stuff like that. I said, but I very rarely throughout the day need days where I need snacks, because I make sure, you know, I hit my protein goals and I have my carbohydrates, and like, I just am satiated all day long. I was like, but I wasn't, and eat my, make sure I have my fats. I was like, I wasn't like that beforehand. But I didn't know any of that stuff until I started tracking my calories. So I know people, they can say what they want to about it, but when I, it works so well, or it's worked so well for me.
I love that you said that. It's one of those things where if someone might hear you say that and think, oh my God, she just said like, you can't have snacks. No. What you just said is that you're so full and satiated from your meals that you aren't looking for snacks. And this is something that I'm so intrigued by behaviorally, because from a behavior perspective and from my observation among people who count calories, is that the people who track properly and do everything to hit their protein intake without even thinking about it, they don't look for a snack, and they're not trying to fit a teeny snack in because they don't need it.
Nope. And I did it first because I was still learning how to track and when I got a scale and do all that stuff. But, and I think your body adapts to it too, right? Like whatever your diet was pre, you know, tracking your calories and, you know, hitting your protein goals, it takes time for your body to adjust to that. But once your body adjusts to that, like I just don't reach for, I don't know. It's like you said, like you just, I don't know. You just don't. And so I love snacks. I would totally eat them if I wanted them, but I don't really want them. Like, I'm just like, oh, it's okay, whatever. I don't need them. And the salads, people can say what they want to about the salad thing. I hated salads until you were like, okay, one big salad. And I was like, okay, let me just try it. So I found a combination I liked. I ate the same salad every day for lunch. I don't get hungry for like 4 hours. I never, ever thought that a plate of spinach would keep me full for 4 hours.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. It is crazy, but it's so delicious and it makes me feel so good and I'm so full. But again, until I started tracking my calories and like putting everything in and seeing where all of my macros came from, I was like, I had no idea. And this stuff is so simple. It's the simple common sense stuff that I was like, why did I spend all of this time and energy and money on supplements and programs and all of this stuff when I was like, I could have been doing this basic stuff for so long. And then I wish that my boys were still younger and I learned this stuff because their nutrition when it comes to wrestling, I could have saved them a world of hurt. You know what I mean? Like,
oh my God. I think about you. I think about that all the time about like how different my life would have been if I had had access to this knowledge as a high school wrestler. Like, and I don't regret it because the issues that I went through from high school wrestling, like got me passionate enough to pursue a career in this. And I don't think I'd be where I am if I didn't go through that. But, it's one of the things I'm speechless about. And I think about regularly it's one of the things I really want to do as I get older and just do things, not for paid, but just like volunteer, go into schools and teach the wrestling coaches and the teachers like, hey, when you're talking to the athletes about food, like this is how we should structure it to make sure they have a healthy relationship with food and they're not cutting too much weight and they're not doing it with water. They're doing it safely and healthily. Yeah. Like that's one of the things I get very passionate about having grown up with just a really bad environment around that.
Yes. Yes. And I will say when my son went to college to wrestle, he wrestled at a D2 school and they were really, really heavy on nutrition. So they did a good job about making sure their boys cut weight with proper nutrition. So all of that stuff. But again, those are college athletes and college coaches where the, you know, high school athletes or high school coaches, like they don't know as much, right? They don't have access to that. It's usually, you know, parents or teachers and stuff. They just don't know, which is fine. Like, you know, I don't expect any of them to know, but I'm just like, you're right. These kids need to know. And these, you know, adults and nutrition is huge. And my brother but he actually does jujitsu in Canada because that's where I'm from. And he's 15. And I told my dad, I was like, you need to look at the Inner Circle stuff. I said, because you need to get his nutrition on point. So when he has to start cutting for competitions, he's doing it properly and not, not cutting, you know, the way that, you know, my boys used to cut for wrestling. And if our toddler, who's also a boy, ends up wrestling, you know, I told my husband, I was like, it's going to be so great come wrestling season because I'm not going to have to starve to death.
Yeah.
You know, because our parents also had to cut, like when we had three boys wrestling, we also had to eat, you know, the quote unquote cutting diet because it was no fair to eat pizza in front of the kids when they're, you know, they can't eat, right? So, nutrition has been a huge learning curve for me more than anything, I think. In this whole process so far.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Aaliyah, is there anything else that you wanted that I might be able to help with before we get off?
No, sir. I think that is it. I think we've got everything covered.
Well, this has been amazing. It's been a blessing getting to speak with you. I consider myself very lucky. I'm super impressed. So please keep me updated with all of your progress. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate your help I know it didn't seem like a lot of problems, but it's, you know, one of those things, the busyness of life, which everybody experiences, it's like staying consistent while you're doing life is, I think, the hardest thing for me and probably most people. So any help with that, I was like, just tell me something, anything that I can grasp, like, you know, just make sure I keep going, like keep this momentum going. So
you're doing incredible. And I think honestly, the best thing for you to know is that you're doing great. Like just to, you know me by now. Like if I thought that you were screwing up, I would have no problem in a loving way telling you you're screwing up, right? Like yeah. I have no issue. I'll tell you if you're messing up. You're not. Yep. You're doing amazingly well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Of course. Have a wonderful night and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thank you, Jordan. Bye.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Please leave a 5-star review on iTunes if you haven't already. They really do help a ton. And if you'd like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at the link in the show notes or www.sfinnercircle.com. Have a wonderful day and I'll talk to you soon.